so, you know, like nobody's going to make you do something you don't want to do. But it's just kind of sparked something. And we're already riding the benefits of that wave. So again, next Sunday morning, 10:15, be here early and come ready and excited. Somebody came to me and said, this is the coolest thing. How long have you been doing this? It was our first day. But imagine what's going to happen one day. What happens one day when we've got 60 and 70 people praying that God would meet us and move in our midst on a Sunday morning. Wouldn't that be amazing? Amen. Come on, we've got to see it by faith, people. We're not there yet, but yes, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. Hey, to our friends who are watching online, I don't know if you know this or not, Paul has done an amazing job of just really upping the quality of the streaming side of what we're doing. It's a lot better. Thank you, Paul. And, you know, I don't live there. We watched it when we were away. But Paul's telling me that we're running like 50 views a week. The people coming in to see what's going on there. So pretty excited about that and just to see where that's going. Jaden, if you can get me set up on my first slide, we're going to get started. One more thing before we go. Two things, actually, before we go. Announcements, kind of announcement things. Tomorrow, on Facebook, on our Facebook and Insta feed, but you'll be able to access it easier on the Facebook feed, you are going to see there'll be 5 days, Monday to Friday, we're doing a 5-day devotional plan based on the message I'm preaching today. So if you want to build on, right, what you hear on Sunday, you want to build on that and you're looking for a Devo plan for the week, you can check it out. Watch the Facebook post tomorrow. It'll be there. There's a Bible. There's a guide for you, some scriptures to read, and the whole piece. And you can just kind of track along. It's an experiment. If it works well, we'll keep doing it. If it doesn't work well, we'll stop doing it. Because sometimes you just got to try stuff, right? Sometimes you just got to try stuff to see what happens and how it goes. So that's happening. The second thing is this: is if you don't, right? If you're not getting emails from the church. And I know people are like, oh, I don't want to get any emails, but it's a way that we stay connected to you. It's a way that we can care for you. If you're not getting emails, there you go. There's the slide right there. You can visit the website and you can sign up. There are cards. I had a couple this morning when I started. Rose has one. There are cards and you can fill out one of those and we'll make sure you get in the system and you know, whatever it takes. But we want you to be connected because we're planning stuff for the fall and we're building stuff for the future and we want you to be involved in what we're doing. So all of that's there. Thank you so much for running those slides. And if you're new to City Light, if you want to just shoot that QR code right there, that'll take you to the sign up page, right? You can do it right now or you can get it later. All right, we're kicking back into carrying on with our series, The Little Church That Could. Now, you know, I know that some of you are going like, what are we doing here? And again, I want to come back to this, right? We went through the winter. We're kind of in, you know, almost late summer now. But through the winter, we spent a lot of time talking about, with different groups of people, talking about if Jesus was to have his way, what could City Light look like 5 years from now? Like if we just took our hands off the wheel and let him give us direction and tell us show us where he wanted us to go, what he wanted us to become, what we could become if we just yielded to him, what would that look like? And you know, that was a really exciting and very interesting experience as we unpacked what God was saying to us through his people. And so we distilled it down, and we've talked about prayer, and we've talked about a light in the city, and we talked about worship, and we've talked about a bunch of different things. And this morning, we're going to talk about the power of more. You, we, us. You, we, and us. You know, it's an interesting thing that I know you wouldn't believe this by looking at me, but I used to run half marathons and marathons. And I know, look at me, I'm totally in running shape. And I'll tell you that some people think that 5 kilometers is a marathon. I went and I ran a marathon, it was 5 kilometers. That's not a marathon, that's just a 5K. But I actually ran the Vancouver Marathon on the rainiest day probably in the history of Vancouver. Ran the Vancouver Marathon, ran multiple halves, ran half of the LA Marathon, but I pulled up because of an injury. But my friends who do a lot more running are still running, told me this when I started because I did most of my running alone. And he said, you know what, Tim? He said, you'll run faster alone, but you'll run farther with someone. And it's true. It's true. I know some of you are going like, well, I don't really know anything about running. Well, I'll tell you this. Running is like this. The first 5K just hurts, right? It's just kind of like pushing a rope uphill. The first few kilometers hurt, and then you kind of get a groove, and it feels pretty good. But after that, it becomes this mental battle of staying focused, because sometimes you're out for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours, depending on how long you're going. And to have no one to talk to, right, it makes it kind of long. And you certainly don't want to be the person running down the road talking to yourself, because that attracts attention. That attracts attention. So you want, you know, the whole idea is that we would go with someone. You would go together. And so I really didn't do a great job of that, but I did manage to pull it off when I needed to. There's a passage in the Bible that talks about the power of together, the power of us, the power of more. It's out of Ecclesiastes chapter 4. If you want to take me to that passage, please. Two people, Solomon writes, two people are better off than one. That slide needs to change. There you go. We're working on it. For they can help each other succeed. If one falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Father, would you this morning speak to our hearts? Would you change our lives? Would you help us to see what we need to see, hear what we need to hear, and be open and willing to let you change what you need to change in us today? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to share three thoughts with you, three key thoughts for you around this idea of collaboration and about the power and importance of us and together. Key thought number one, God's work is too large and too complex to be accomplished alone. God's work is too big and too complex to be accomplished alone. Barb and I were on vacation this summer. We were in Cody, Wyoming, and it had been a long day, it had been really hot, driven through a storm. And we were kind of done riding for the day. And so we went to a little smokehouse barbecue place across the parking lot from the hotel. We were happy not to sit on a motorcycle, just happy to walk. And we get there, and we get a server, and she's got a flashing, it's America, so it's a little different than here, a flashing I love Jesus button thing on her uniform. It's like, well, that's really interesting. But I was like, oh, I hope I get her. I got to have a great conversation with her. And so you know, she comes for our order. And one thing, I said, hey, tell me about your button. Oh, she said, I just love this button. I just love Jesus so much. I said, that's really awesome. So in my mind, it's like, I want to find out what kind of a church this woman goes to. Like, what kind of church do you go to that gives you kind of the boldness, if you will, to wear a flashing I love Jesus button? And so I said, hey, tell me about your church. I don't go to church. I don't go to church. But you wear the button. Yeah, I do. But I don't go to church. It's just me and Jesus, right? And I just do my thing with him. I don't go to church. I love Jesus all by myself. And so, you know, I do have the capacity, if you have not noticed this, yes, I do have the capacity and the ability to speak my mind on various occasions. And I will actually, you know, if sometimes you don't even have to ask me what I think. I'll just tell you, right? But in this moment, I thought, you know what? I don't want her spitting in my food. So I'm not going to tell her what I really think about the idea of, oh, I just love Jesus all by myself. I'll tell you that loving Jesus is a community thing, that following Jesus is a community thing, that serving Jesus means we do it together. Like there are no rock stars and kind of no lone rangers. There's people who think they're lone rangers, really, but they're really not getting anything done. They're disconnected. And the real power of seeing God at work, the real power of seeing the kingdom advance forcefully is that we walk it out and we live it out and we work it out together. There you go. Some people are coming to church today. Some people come to church today. Key thought number two, God's work is too important to be dependent on one particular person or vessel for success. Now, I get it. I'm a visionary. I see things. I can see things just driving around. Barb will tell you, right? There's a, you know, the old Volvo dealership at Hillside and Douglas, big white building. Right after Volvo abandoned the place, I'd drive by and I'd say, "Oh, that'd be a great place to plant a church. Be a great place." I just walk around and go, "That'd be a great place to plant a church. That'd be a great." Right? I have no concept of anything else. I just think that that Volvo is a cool looking building. Be a great place to plant a church. You know, ignore the fact that there is no parking. Right? There's a whole bunch of reasons why it is what it is. Right? But it's like visionaries are kind of like this. We get this idea that we get an idea and it must be God and we can do it all by ourselves and we're the hero of this story. But you know what? History shows us. The Bible shows us. God's work is too important for it to be dependent on one particular person or vessel for success. My pastor friend and I was on staff, and my pastor's name was Al, and Al and I were talking one day, and I was kind of bemoaning the departure of somebody who was, they were leaving a high-profile leader in the church, so kind of bemoaning, right? He's like, "Oh," and he goes, "Tim, let me give you an important lesson. You want to find out how important you are? Stick your fist into a bucket of water, pull it out, and watch how quickly the hole fills." And it's like, yeah, you're right, really not that important, am I? Right? Right? It's not about you. It's not about you. Nor is it all about me. Right? It is always, when it comes to the work of God, when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to the church, it is always about us working together with God and his plan. Right? God's work is too important for it to rest on one person. Number three, on earth as it is in heaven. Key thought number three. In the Trinity, there are three persons. There is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And those three, the three are the Godhead, the Trinity. And those three collaborate to fulfill their master purpose and plan. Now imagine with me for a moment that Jesus, for whatever reason, disagrees with the Father and the Holy Spirit and takes his toys and goes home. But can you imagine? How would heaven work? What would our world look like if the three thought one was more important than the other? But they don't. They collaborate together to fulfill their purpose and their plan. Let me show you what that looks like out of Genesis chapter 1. The Trinity and creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, right? Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. It was just a shapeless mass. It's just a shapeless vacuum thing, whatever it was. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. The first person of the Trinity to be mentioned in the scriptures is the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. And God, the Father, said, "Let there be." He's, wow, there's Holy Spirit, there's the Father. Where's Jesus? Well, Jesus doesn't appear in Genesis, at least not in Genesis chapter 1. But in John chapter 1 and verse 3, John, inspired by the Spirit, writes and says this, "God created everything through him," Jesus, "and nothing was created except through him." So you have God the Father who speaks creation into existence. You have Holy Spirit who is hovering over the face of the deep to facilitate creation. And it is Jesus that it all comes through. Right? You take any one of those people out of the mix, any one of those persons out of the mix, creation doesn't happen. You and I are not here. They need all three to be together. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, later on in the chapter, God says, "Let us make man in our own image." Right? They collaborate together at every step of creation along the way because they understand that they need each other and that they work together. Let us. William Carey, I don't know, this is not the guy, it's not Carey Road. Some of you are thinking it might be Carey Road. It's not Carey Road, but William Carey was the father of missions in India. He was the founder of the Baptist mission society. William Carey said this at one point, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. In 1792, William Carey is preaching at a pastor's conference. And he preaches this powerful message on basically on the criminality, those are his words, on the criminality of not sharing the gospel with people who don't look like us. Not sharing the gospel with people who don't look like us. So Carey preaches this message. And, you know, it's a church thing. So, you know, people are, you know, doing whatever. Well, they're Baptists, so they're probably not clapping and they're probably not smiling. I'm kidding. Right? To my Baptist friends, just a little joke there. Right? Carey preaches. And at the end of the message, right, he seems like he's, you know, people are nodding in agreement. They're coming down the road with him. They're coming along. And so at the end of the message, at the end of his message, William Carey says this to his friend because they're starting to wrap up, probably because, like, it's time for lunch at Swiss Chalet. It's 1792. There was no Swiss Chalet. Right? But, you know, they're thinking about whatever is next. And so the guy stands up and starts to wrap up. I want to thank our brother for his great message today. Right? Carey leans over to his friend and goes, is nothing going to be done again? Is nothing going to be done again? His friend stood up, went to bat for Carey, said, we have heard this message, we have to do something, right? Because I don't know if it's like this in your world, but a lot of times preachers come together, they talk about big ideas, and then nothing ever happens. Ever been in a meeting like that? Don't raise your hand, right? Don't raise your hand. So when Carey preaches that message in 1792, 7 out of 1,000 Christians on the earth were from India, Africa, or Asia. 7 out of every 1,000 Christians on the earth. Today, because of people like William Carey, Hudson Taylor, and many, 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 many others, 1.2 billion people from India, Africa, and Asia identify as Christian. There's only 2.4 million Christians in the earth, right? 1.2 of them come from the countries that William Carey talked about in 1792. There's power in us. The funny thing is, in the William Carey story is 4 months after they made this decision to form a missionary society, I think it was 6 Baptist pastors agreed to go, and they had collected, this is the funniest part, they had collected 20 shillings and brought it in a cigar box. Now, I just wonder which Baptist would own up to, you know, supplying the cigar box. But, you know, there you go. Something happens when we move to us and away from me. So let me share with you this morning 5 mindsets of kingdom collaboration. What does it take for us? How do we need to think if we're going to be team players, if we're going to be kingdom players, if we're going to be collaborators in God's great plan to impact Gorge Tillicum, Greater Victoria, British Columbia, Canada, and the world? If we're going to be a part of God's big plan to do that, what needs to happen with us? Well, number one, we need to surrender. I must yield to God's plan so I can share in his purpose. I must yield to his plan so I can share in his purpose. 4 spiritual laws. God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. That was Bill Bright. Purpose-driven life said this: God's created you and given you a purpose. He's given you a reason to live. He's given you a reason that is bigger than you to get up in the morning. But the challenge is this, is I can accept God's love. I'm all in on God's love. I'm all in on God's forgiveness. I'm all in on the worship piece. But some of us really struggle with the idea that I have to yield to his plan. I love his love. I'm not so crazy about his plan because I want to run my own life. Okay, that's a lose-lose proposition when we go down that road. The win is always in, I yield to his plan so I share in his purpose. It is always he over me. So number one, I yield to his plan. Number two, I stop thinking of myself as an owner, and I think of myself as a manager. Is there anyone here who has never, ever purchased something from Amazon? Yeah. Well, if you didn't purchase it, somebody probably gave you something that they purchased from Amazon, right? Now, here's the interesting thing with Amazon. Amazon doesn't own everything that they sell and deliver. Okay. They're just managers. They're just brokers. They just have set up a warehouse where people who want to sell stuff put things, right? And then people like you and me buy those things, and Amazon delivers those things. They manage the selling process. They manage the delivery process. And we think about this, how it applies to our lives. God gives to us. God gives to us. He provides us with resources. He provides us with health. He provides us with all kinds of good things. But he gives to us so that he can give through us. To us and through us. Say, I'm a funnel. I'm a funnel. I'm just a funnel. I was looking for an idea for this message. It's like, I just need a way, like an illustration to frame this. And I found this great preaching quote: we will not do this, do not advise this, slap your neighbor and say, this is a net-breaking anointing. I was like, I mean, it's a black preacher, right? I was like, and a famous black preacher, but it's like, only he could get away with saying that. Only he could get away with it. Turn to your neighbor, maybe. I might do that, but I'm not ever going to tell you to slap your neighbor, right? But God gives to us so he can give through us. We are distribution centers. It changes the whole way we handle what God has given us. Now, I'll tell you. I'll be very honest with you, very transparent with you. It took me a long time to learn this lesson. Took me a long, long time to learn this lesson, that what came to me was never mine. It was God had given it to me to be a steward of, to manage it so that I could pass it forward to where he wanted it to go. Big, big difference. Big, big difference. Mindset number three, generosity. Look at that beautiful farmer's daughter. This is obviously Barb. This is Barb standing in her father's wheat field. He's got a very good crop. He was very proud of it. It's Durum wheat. With Durum, we make bread. We make pizza. Hallelujah. We make pasta. Durum is what most of us, you know, if you eat grains, right? If you eat gluten, if you love gluten, you probably like Durum, right? That's the way to say it, all right? We sow generously. So every spring for probably 50 years, Barb's dad has gone out into the field and he has sown seed. He has sown seed. He's tilled the land. He's soiled seed, right? He's put in fertilizer, and then he sits on his front deck and prays that it doesn't hail, right? He sows in, and then in August, about this time of the year, he is out on his combine, working with other people, and they partner together, but he's out on his combine reaping his harvest. See, if we don't sow, we can't reap. At a personal level, if we don't sow, we won't reap. I remember one time, our church, I was pastor. The church was going through a tough time financially. I'm praying away, and it's like, God, how are we going to get out of this mess? And he says, you're going to give your way out of this mess. And I'm like, well, that's crazy talk. That can't be Jesus talking. He wants me to save and pay this off. I was like, are you sure? You're going to give your way out of this mess. And we did. And I can tell you that in my own personal life, give my way out of a mess. Give my way out, because when I sow generously, I reap generously, just on a financial level. But I'll tell you that when we sow generously into the kingdom, When we give our lives and lay ourselves down for the sake of the kingdom, we reap generously every time. It's not like, oh, just once in a while, but generously. Generously, as we do this, we sow in and we reap. Number four, mindset of the kingdom, abundance. God is my source. When we think about collaborating, we think about working together, partnering with other people, whatever it might be, right? Number one, God is my source. Number two, I lack nothing. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Number two, I lack nothing. My God is limitless and faithful. So when I'm going through my own journey of learning about generosity and abundance, I hear a guest speaker in our church say this: some of you think God is a pie, that there's only so many slices, right, a pie, right? There's only so many slices in a pie. And when the slices are gone, then the provision is gone, then the abundance is gone because, oh, my pie is gone. I ate all the pie. But God is not a pie. God is a river. He is endless in his abundance, in his abundance. He does not lack. He does not in any way have a shortfall. His name is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. So when we think about how we're going to collaborate, how we're going to partner, what we're going to do to reach Gorge Tillicum, we can't think in terms of, well, we don't have enough. Well, we have all that we need. God supplies all that we need according to his riches and glory. I'm not going to worry about, right? I'm not going to worry about, what if I don't have this? What if I don't have that? I'll tell you that and I'm not boasting when I say this, it shocks me when I look at my giving receipt at the end of the year. It's like, how do I do that? How is it that God has blessed us to do this? But you know what? It seems to be working. If we give a little bit more, he'll just bless us that much more so we can give a little bit more. I'm not talking about getting rich. Okay, hear me. I'm not talking about getting rich. I'm not talking about some prosperity scheme. I'm talking about being resourced so that we can be good stewards. Right? You got it? You got it? You got where we're going there? Right? Abundance. God is my source. I'm not going to lack because he is faithful. If I'm faithful to him, he's always faithful to me. He looks after me. He provides for me. Always makes a way. You know what this does, this abundance piece? It sets us free from competing with other people, right? God is abundant. God is abundantly supplying and providing for me. He provides for me different than he provides for other people different than he does for me. We had a donor when we first started the ministry. Every 2 months, she'd send a check for $500. I mean, in those days, we had nothing. And 500 bucks was like the moon to us. Just to be able to give like that. I just want to be able to give like that. Some of the most generous people I know. And so I just began to pray, God, help me to give like this couple gives. I want to give like this couple gives. I want to sow with the same kind of generosity that this couple sows. And the first year that I knew that I had that God had blessed Barb and I enough that I could give, that we sowed more into the ministry than our friends did, we went over, we had a meal together. I said, I need to tell you a story. You inspired me to generosity. You set an example for me about how, if I'm faithful, that God will be faithful. And I want to tell you that this year, for the first time ever, the Lord enabled us to do this. And they weren't like offended. They were thrilled that God had used them to be a blessing and an encouragement to us. Mindset number five, we come with open hands and open minds, or open hearts. Here's two principles in collaboration, right? Two principles. I bring something. We all have gifts. God has given all of us gifts, and he has given all of us talents. There are things that you are good at that nobody else in this room is good at. There are things that you excel at just naturally by the way that you have been made, that you excel at, that set you in a different class than anyone else in this room. You're special. In the best of way. Not you're special, but you're special, right? God has gifted you and talented you and made you in a unique and wonderful way, right? There's your gifts, Your talents are the things that you have learned to do, the skills that you have honed and that you have crafted and that you have worked on. So we'll use as an example today, Barb and Simon and Kathy, right? They didn't just show up last week and start to sing and play at the level of excellence that they do. Because like really, I mean, I played guitar once too, but I don't sound like Simon, right? And I can kind of chord on a piano, but you don't want me doing what Kathy and Barb do because that won't end well. Right? So they have honed their craft. They have honed their skill. They have developed their talent. Right? So they bring something. Some of it's natural gift or supernatural gift. Some of it is talent that they've developed. The second piece is they bring something, but I also learn something. So every time I'm collaborating, every time we're walking together, I'm walking together with somebody, if my heart is right, if my head is right, I'm learning something. I'm gaining something. I'm being enhanced because I'm walking together. That's why as we move forward in this at a church level, we'll do everything in teams. There are no lone rangers. There are no superstars. Everything's in teams. Why? Because teams are better than solo actors. Somebody should say amen, right? Better than solo actors. It's safer and it's better. Yeah, but I could be hurt. Yep, you could. And you could hurt somebody else. All of that is true. Okay? But it's teams are still better. Collaborating is still better because it's a win-win situation. You're bringing something, making somebody else better. You're learning something, making yourself better. And it repeats over and over and over again. Here's the thing. City Light is awesome. Great church. Wonderful people. We excel at so many things, but we don't have what it takes on our own to impact in a significant way Gorge Tillicum, Greater Victoria, British Columbia, Canada, and the nations. We have to do it with other people. We have to partner with other ministries. We need to be looking for and thinking about who can we collaborate with so that we can get our biggest impact. How can we leverage our skills, our abilities, our talents, the resources, the building? How can we resource all of that so that we can have the greatest possible kingdom impact? That's how we change the world. That's how we change the world. Okay. I'm tired and hot and a little bit thirsty. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you don't call us to do things on our own. Solomon grabbed it in Ecclesiastes when he said, two are better than one. And we don't want to be solo actors. We don't want to be self-important. We don't want to be the people that it all has to revolve around. Our names do not matter. Our contributions are important, but only in the sense that we are partnering together with other people. Keep us from superstar mentality. Develop, enhance, bring forth servant style mentality and leadership as we partner together to see City Light come to a better and brighter day, as we impact Gorge Tillicum, Greater Victoria, British Columbia, our nation, and the globe. We ask for your help. We ask for your presence. We ask for your power. Go before us this week. Give us a fantastic week as we serve you, as we love you, as we interact with one another. Bring us back here next Sunday at 10:15. In Jesus' name, amen.